speaker is Yutaka Sasaki. He's going to present his code now.
First of all, I would like to thank Alan for inviting such a unique meeting. And actually, I'm not very interested in forward modeling of magnetotherapy responses, so my talk is short. Because I have never experienced with any difficulties forward modeling of empty. I do have some difficulty with slow convergence for the case of the, electric dipole sources, but I've never experienced difficulties with magnetotherapy responses. And I'm not going to do the equations. The only thing I would like to mention here is that I use a secondary field, electric field formulation. And the reason is that I used to use a total electric field formulation. And about 5 years ago, Phil Wanamaker of University of Utah used my code and found that there are some locks near the boundary, and he suggested me to I should work on the second field approach, like a forward modeling for finite sources. And since then, I use a total field approach. And so the background model is a 1D model. And there's nothing new in my approach. My program is based on Rati Makki's papers and Smith's papers. So I use a circle grid finite difference method. Yes. Solver is a biconjugate gradient together with a preconditional of incomplete cholestatic composition. And I also use static divergence directions for proposed by Smith. Without Smith's paper, I would never be here. This works very well. This static divergence correction is essential in my program. This is a model. Next slide. I tested forward modeling using two different grids. The first one is like this, a large grid. Minimum cell size is 1 by 1 kilometer. Maximum cell size is like this. And the computing time is about 74 minutes on the common Pentium 4 PC. All the computation for. And the second grid that I use is smaller. And in this case, minimum cell size is slightly larger than the larger grid. And maximum cell size is like this. So in this smaller grid, the aspect ratio is much smaller than this one.
Is that time for all frequencies?
all frequencies. And in this case, seven minutes on what you see. And I use this grid in the inversion, but the inversion is not topic here. Next, please. And this is a comparison of the responses at one profile at x equal minus 15 kilometer between two grids. And I plotted the responses at four periods, 10 to 10,000 seconds. And the larger symbol represent a larger grid, and smaller symbol denote a smaller grid. There's no virtually no difference. There are some subtle differences for the differences. There's no almost. Oh yes, there are some differences, but there are no. Next, please. This is another profile, and the agreement is good. Next, please. Again, agreement is good. And, yes. This is the profile at y equals 0. And basically, the agreement, we get the same result. So that's it. Yes, I showed only off diagonal responses. Of course, I calculate the.
So they agree good for both meshes.
Pardon?
The agreement is as good as for the off diagonals between the two meshes.
Oh, I've never compared the diagonal component. So. Single procedure. I don't think whether a double procedure or single procedure make difference. So the forward modeling is fast. I don't have to use a cluster computer or. And I only use one grid for all the frequencies.
Yeah, I think if you have a reasonable grid, you can do a lot.
Grid should be uniform as much as possible. If we expand the cell near the boundary, we found some warps. I think this is associated with the inherent weakness of finite difference method. That will not happen for the case of finite element method. But if we use a secondary field approach, we can overcome this problem. So we can, even if we can expand the.
I didn't quite understand. What did Phil say was the problem with your total field code? Near the boundary with your total field code. What did Phil say was the problem?
If you use a total field approach, even for homogeneous model, there are some warps near the boundary.
Warps.
Something like
this. But what were you using for boundary conditions?
Just function, even with user correct boundary condition, we experience warps near the boundary. If, particularly if you expand the grid near the.
But I wonder why that is.
No.
Well, in this model here, what was the maximum and minimum cell aspect ratio?
Have you done that? This one. For the larger grid,
640 to 1, so that's pretty extreme.
Extreme. In this case, aspect ratio is much smaller. And I think the one reason that computing time is rather grid takes much longer computing time is that we use a large grid. Also, the aspect ratio is very large compared to this one. So, but
very very good preconditioner to solve that problem. That's extreme. 641, very extreme.
And the reason I expanded the grid near the boundary is that I want to make sure that the grid produce significant differences. And after all, I didn't see any significant differences between the different aspect ratio.
What was your